Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Siegfried Gersh as my special expert guest. Siegfried Gersh is a true pioneer of the health food movement in Canada, with a career that spans well over 50 years. Siegfried founded Alpha Health Products in 1964, Flora Distributors in 1956, and Alive Magazine in 1975. Siegfried served a two-year term as president of the Canadian Health Food Association. In 1992, he created the Alive Academy of Natural Health. And in 1993, the Alive Awards of Excellence Industry Recognition Program. Siegfried was honored for his contribution to the growth of the Canadian natural health movement with his induction into the Canadian Health Food Association's Hall of Fame. In 1996, he accepted his Master Herbalist degree from the Dominion Herbal College. Siegfried is the author of Fantastic Flax, Good Fats and Oils, Juicing for the Health of It, and Coconut Oil. He was also the publisher of two groundbreaking bestsellers, Fats That Heal and Fats That Kill by Udo Erasmus, and the Encyclopedia of Natural Health, becoming the first health publisher to win the prestigious Benjamin Franklin Award. Good morning, Siegfried, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update.
Oh, good morning, Corey. It's a joy to hear your voice again.
Thank you, and likewise, Siegfried. We've known each other for a long time. Tell us now, what is it that you like best about the natural health food industry that you work in?
You know, that is quite a question. You know, I must say it, the best is really that the people you work with, you know, they are genuine, they are real people, and they are motivated by one thing, not to make a lot of money, but rather to help other people finding health and happiness in their life, becoming healthy, and have a positive outlook. And that is an industry where, I would say, where the people you're working with, they're all friends. You just don't have any enemies. You know, of course, not everybody is your best friend, but you like them all because you all know they're pulling on the same string, making a difference in people's life.
Can you take us back to when you first started working in the industry, Siegfried? What was it like then compared to now? Have you seen any dramatic changes? Is it still the same or is it quite a bit different?
Well, that depends on how far back you want me to go. You
know, when How about when you first started working?
Yeah, that was in 1956. I actually had a bookstore at that time, and a number of people came in, and they knew that I knew a lot about the health food industry, because when I came to Canada, in Germany, I had an apprenticeship in the health reform movement, which is the official name of the health food industry there, which is quite nicely organized with an apprenticeship program and a journey program and a master program and so on. And, of course, when I came, there was nothing I could do with that knowledge. But people noticed that I did carry a lot of books on health and nutrition, which were available at that time, like Gaylord Houser, Look Younger, Live Longer, and these type of books, yeah? So they asked me whether I could get some of their remedies that they needed. Someone needed a stomach tea, another herbal tea, another sleeping tea, and sure, I knew the sources where to get them, and so I started importing them. And word spread quickly. I started to wholesale them mostly to the German delicatessens, because there I found a ready market for these products. But then I looked around and said, well, what about the health food industry here? It was really in the infancy stage. There were 5 stores in Vancouver, can you imagine, including New Westminster. And what they carried was 1 vitamin line, Jameson. They carried a few herbal teas, mostly packaged in brown paper bags. They carried eggs. They carried homemade cookies. And not much more. Really not much more. Apple juice, maybe apple cider juice. And some stores carried health equipment, you know, like a juicer or even exercise equipment, barbells. But usually it was just one owner. And then it grew, and the same people, the type of people that somehow had a health experience, they were sick in a hospital, and then they discovered that raw foods and vitamins and juices, fresh pressed juices, made the difference, and they became healthy again. And then they said, well, that's a type of industry I like to, or that's a type of business I like to get into, helping others to discover the natural health. And this is how the industry grew. About 4 years later, 5 years later, I started to travel across Canada for my other business, which I had. But I looked up the health food stores, and there were 200 across Canada. Can you imagine? This was 1958, 59.
Wow.
And 200 health food stores. I traveled as far as Montreal. In Montreal, there was a more dense situation, more health food stores, but unfortunately, I couldn't manage to speak to them as I didn't know French at all. But there was an enthusiasm there in Montreal, and that sort of also spread into the other regions, especially here in British Columbia, where the association then was formed in the early 60s, the Health Food Retailers Association.
I see. So yeah. Speaking of associations, and, you know, no one understands the importance of education better than yourself. Are you satisfied with the level of knowledge in the typical retailer? Do you think they know how to go about getting the education? Is the system that you talked about in Germany, it sounds like they had a system of education, which we still don't have today. What are your thoughts on education in general?
Well, you know, the Bible says, my people suffer because of the lack of knowledge. And whatever way you look at that sentence, if you don't know the answers, you just suffer in whatever way. But the education part in the health food industry, the owners themselves, they usually read a lot. They educated themselves. But whenever they hired helpers, the helpers, they had very little knowledge. And they were also hired because they didn't, you know, it was a sales job, a cashier's job, and so on. They didn't have much product knowledge. And that is something that I said, well, if the industry wants to grow, we need to have some sort of an education system. And I tried as much as I could as an individual. And in 1975, I finally started the Alive magazine, because if an industry wants to grow, you have to have an educational tool somehow that is available to the masses and where people that want to learn more can just go in. And so the Alive magazine was developed as a self-help health magazine. When people had the common ailments, a cold or aches and pains or something, at least they could find help in the magazine. That's why people collected the magazine, because every magazine talked about an ailment, about nutrition, about a herb or a vitamin, the benefits of good oils, and so on. And that was part, but the other part of education was to educate the retailers, and that was best done by seminars of the suppliers who supplied the goods. I remember when I met Dr. Horben, he came from England and settled down in Nova Scotia with his Ephemol product, where they had the laboratory, and I met him, and we had a number of discussions, and he said, well, how can I get best into the market here? And I said, the best thing is to write small little pamphlets and to give seminars to retailers. And, well, that's how they started. I traveled across Canada with Dr. Horben. We had about 15 places on the agenda, on, you know, cities, radio interviews. And in every city we had rented a room or an auditorium, and he was speaking. We invited the health food retailers, and they invited their customers. And it's amazing, you know, the smaller the towns, the bigger the crowd. And in Toronto, we rented an auditorium at the university. Well, we had 60 people in Toronto. What disappointing. We went to Thunder Bay, and we rented the auditorium of the university there, and it was two-thirds full, 800 seats, yeah? And we found that across Canada. You know, the smaller the towns, the more interest there was. And that was probably because there wasn't that much competition. While in big cities, you could go to a football game, you could do go to a theater or to the movies or whatever. No? But education is important. If an industry wants to grow, the educational part needs to be solid and well-organized.
So from the Alive magazine, then the Alive Academy of Natural Health, tell us how that came to be.
Well, as I said before, you look into the stores, and there, as the industry grew, there were employees, there was the owner, but he didn't quite often have the means to educate the people, either because of lack of time or because he wasn't talented for it or so. But what I found important, you know, if you go to other industries, let's say, for instance, you go to a hairdresser. Well, the hairdresser is not allowed to touch anybody's hair until they got a license for it. And the license requires that they get an education. You know, they're touching people's scalp and they're using chemicals, and they have to be very careful of what they do. So they have to, a hairdresser, when they hire staff, they have only one possibility, and that is that the staff is educated. Well, in the health food industry, people come in and ask, well, I've got this particular problem. Is there anything you can do? And then, well, what answer is there? You know, you might start with vitamin C. It's always good to start with vitamin C. That doesn't hurt anybody and so on. But what else? Well, they have got no knowledge, and that's where I figured if the staff of the stores would start with the nutritional counseling course and educate themselves and pass on what they have learned, there is no other way for the store but to grow. Yeah, because customers come back and they are satisfied. They get good answers. They get to know the benefits of the health food stores. They get to know the functioning of the supplements and get to know a little bit more about their body and how everything works. And that has helped an awful lot. As a matter of fact, it turned out that the stores, especially larger stores with 10 employees and 12 employees or so, they send their entire staff through these courses. And of course, when they had finished, the people did get a designation of nutritional consultant. No? And, you know, just take the role of a customer yourself. Walk into a health food store and you meet a person there, and you see they have a little badge with their name on and nutritional consultant on it. You know, don't you have more confidence in that person than if you talk to someone that sort of, when you ask a question about this or that and say, well, you may try and look on that shelf. Maybe you find something. It makes a lot of difference, doesn't it?
Well, no doubt. My question, Siegfried, is why, if it's so obvious, you know, because I've looked at Fortune 500 companies and they all have mandatory education. You can't even get the job without education. And then when you get the job, you have to be committed to continuously going to training, clinics, seminars, and you have to. You have no choice.
Yeah.
And it's obvious, like you said, it's almost like gravity. It's just like if you jump off a bridge, you fall down. So why, if it's so obvious, and we know that all the stores in Canada and America where education is put at the forefront, they're all more productive. They generate more revenue. Why doesn't every store get this, and why is our industry so far behind creating that academy and its own university that allows people to get the training and to pursue a career? Is there some kind of resistance to it?
You know, there were actually some schools in the States. And, you know, the association also picked up this idea and they created courses. But you were talking about a sort of university or an academy or so where people could go and sit on the bench and have interaction with the teacher and the classmates and all that. Well, that has not happened, and I don't have the answer why it hasn't. It's so obvious that this would be or could bring around, a total change in the industry, yeah? Professionalism and so. You know, we do know that especially the medical orthodox medicine and all that, they look down on the health food stores and they say, oh, these are all quacks, you know, they have no idea. And, of course, they depend on scientific evidence, you know, clinical tests and all that, which are not available for health food stores because it's a matter of finance. It costs millions of dollars to do all that, yeah? But nevertheless, some good work has been done by the Canadian Health Food Association and also in the United States.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So now I want to talk about Alpha Health Products, because I have visited you and I've seen what you're doing there and, of course, known about you doing this for a long time. And I want to get the word out, and our students and grads are listening to this, our members worldwide. They can go online, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But can you tell us about Alpha Health Products and the services you provide?
You know, I had the Life magazine and the Life books. I was the publisher of many, many different titles, and I wrote a number of books myself. But then when I retired, I thought I would just run my little company that I did with a small finger sort of on the side, Alpha Health Products. It was called Teldon of Canada at that time. And we were selling juicers and blenders and, you know, healthy kitchen machine, you know, for making raw foods and all that. And the business was going quite well. And I thought, okay, when I retired in 2005, I'm going to bring that business up to par, you know, make it look very good in the books and so, and then sell it off. And then I'll go and for the rest of my life do whatever I enjoy, reading, writing, or whatever, or traveling. Well, it so happened that while I was continuing the, or I had to finish off the book on coconut oil, In this research, I got in touch with Dr. Etherington. Now, he was teaching tropical oils for 40 years at the Canberra University in Australia. And when he retired, his goal was to take the slavery aspect out of coconut harvesting. The way coconut oil is made is that the farmers grow coconuts in their plantages, and they pick them when they're ripe and ready, and most of them goes for copra, and they bag them in jute bags and ship them off to the trucking companies who take the coconuts to the factory where they are then pressed and so on. But the farmers get nothing for it, just like in the coffee business, you know, they got peanuts, basically, yeah? And that is what Dr. Etherington wanted to change, and so he developed a little press, and he got the idea from the little caulking machines that you buy in the stores, you know, in Home Depots and all that, you know, when you want to do some caulking around your bathtub or tiles and all that.
Yes.
And so he took this and he punched them holes on the side and saw what happened. And then he said, well, that works quite well. I'm going to build a machine like that that can be operated by hand, and where you put in the grated coconut flesh and then you press it down, and the oil will come out of the little holes on the side of this big cylinder. And that worked. And he developed this. He went to Germany to the World Expo at that time, and he did get a prize on it, special mention and so on, and some money to develop this pressing system for the underdeveloped countries. And he did this in the Solomon Islands, where there is oodles of islands that have absolutely no electricity. And coconut harvesting is the main industry in the Solomon Islands. And when he told me about this, and that it first collapsed because they didn't have management, and then they teamed up with the Christian Mission, which supplied the education and the management and the know-how how to do this to the farmers there, then it finally worked. And I said, golly, you know, that is a heartwarming story. I like to get involved in that. And I asked him, do you press more oil than the people can use for themselves? He said, oh, eventually, yes, when they're well organized. And he only had about four presses going at that time. I said, look, you see, whenever you have more oil, give me a call. And about a half a year later, he said, I got four drums. I say, okay, four drums, that's 800 liters. I say, I buy it. And then it took about a half a year until they arrived in Canada. And I started to advertise it. I started to package it. And it took off. Before I started this, there was only refined, bleached, and deodorized coconut oil available. And as you know, I've been developing the flax oil industry, and I've been preaching for years. Any refined oil, any deodorized oil, or bleached oil is a deadly oil. Don't eat it. Yeah, but it will take years until that message comes across. We can see that with Dr. Budwig, which discovered the trans fatty acids and the saturated and and discovered that oils are saturated, polyunsaturated, monounsaturated, and that they have different functions in the body here. But that was ignored for 50 years, and now it's coming. Now the industry knows it, and the medical establishment knows it, and now nutritionists say, don't eat trans fats. So I've been in that for that long, and so when I saw that we only had refined coconut oil in Canada, I said, now we're going to have live coconut oil, fresh coconut oil that tastes like coconuts and smells like coconuts, and it's not heated, it's not deodorized, bleached, or anything done with it. It's pure oil, just as if you press an apple and get apple juice, which is not filtered, not cleared, and tastes like an apple. When you take the cleared apple juice out of the can, it tastes like chemicals. Yeah. So I got excited about this, and then it started. The next shipment was 8 drums, then it was 16 drums, then it was 32 drums, and now every quarter of a year we get international bulk containers that have 1,000 liters in them. Yeah. And the business has grown, and the oil is called DME, Direct Micro Expelled. Not expeller pressed oil, Direct Micro Expelled. And that has caught on. And the people, you know, of course, it didn't take long, a year, 2 years, 3 years later. At the moment, I think I have about 15 different coconut oils on the market, and some of them make all kinds of claims. But, you know, I got to tell you a story. This happened just yesterday. I got a call from an Indian lady, and they have a supplement manufacturing company in Barrie. And they make all kinds of food supplements and products which they ship to India. She bought my DME coconut oil, and she said, that kind of coconut oil we don't even get in India. And I said, and she wanted to buy this. I said, no, it doesn't make any sense to get it from the Solomon Islands via Australia to Vancouver and then ship it to you, to Barrie, and you put it in your container and ship it back to India. He said, that's exactly what I'm going to do. Because the people I sent them samples in India, and they want to buy that oil. I said, yeah, but it's got to be more expensive. She said, they don't care. They like the taste, and they like the flavor, and knowing that this is a raw coconut oil. Isn't that amazing?
Really amazing.
You know, it's sort of like taking pigeons to Venice, no?
Well, that proves the product quality, doesn't it? And yeah. Siegfried, can you tell us some of the virtue of using this, like to eat it or put it on the skin? Why should anybody buy this stuff? What is it good for?
Well, coconut oil is different from all other oils. And that, again, is the invention of Dr. Budwig in 1950, that oils have different chain lengths. You know, the molecules, they link up, and they make either long chains or short chains. And, well, I don't want to get into too much into the technical thing, but the coconut oil is a medium chain triglyceride. That means it has a very low melting point, which is at 25 degrees, and a very high smoke point, which is 360 degrees Celsius. And it is absorbed in the body. It doesn't have to go through the liver. It doesn't use any enzymes to convert it into a fat that's usable. It is available immediately. If it is not used for energy, it is expelled. The body doesn't use it. It's not stored as a fat. As a matter of fact, it's sort of like if people have problems with fat metabolism. You know, I've got a good friend, Dr. Whitaker, from the Whitaker Clinic in San Diego down there. And he explained it to me like this. If people have problems with fat metabolism, it's like if you have got a campfire with wet wood and it just wouldn't burn and so on. And finally, you get this idea to take some newspapers, make a big roll, tie it together, and then dunk it into gasoline and then throw that in. And that keeps the fire going, and that keeps all the wet wood also burning. And that is what coconut oil does, yeah? It actually helps them to be metabolized as well, a storage fat. And that is why coconut oil is being used also for a weight loss program. It supplies energy immediately with the medium-chain triglycerides, And if not used for energy, it is expelled. It's not stored like other fats.
What about the saturated fat? You know, I was in a store the other day, and the retailer, the store owner actually says, well, we don't use coconut oil because everyone knows that saturated fats are bad, and 90% of coconut oil is, I guess, lauric acid. That's a saturated fat, and she read something about that being detrimental, and the modern medical machine is not big on saturated fats. There seems to be a connection between that and an increased risk of cardiac events and stroke, etc. What's your response to that, Siegfried?
Yeah, well, that is, again, an education problem, yeah? These people are way behind in their education. They haven't followed what we know today. And, you know, way back 1950, knowing that the omega-3 oils actually heal cancer, we now know that the omega-6 oils, which have been touted as a heart-healthy oil for so many years and were promoted by the American Food Oil Producers Associations and so on, and the medical people say the heart-healthy oil, that the intake is about 4 to 5 times as much as we need, and because of that, it actually causes cancer. It causes inflammation in the arteries. It causes the cholesterol problem. It causes all the bad things that we see. And it's not that good oil that we thought. And the same thing is with saturated fatty acids from animal fat, from the goat, the sheep, the calf, and so on. That is saturated animal fat is not liquid in our body. It's liquid in the animal body because their body heat is, the temperature is 5 degrees higher than ours. And you know, when you have a gravy from a meat gravy and you put it in the fridge, you know, the fat is on top and it's hard, like, and you eat it, it will not melt in your mouth, yeah, unless you heat it up. And that fat is what these people are referring to. But they have not learned that the saturated fat from coconut oil is not a long chain saturated fat, it's a medium chain saturated fat. And for that reason, it does not harden in our body because it stays soft until it's cooler than 25 degrees and our body heat is 37 degrees. While the calves are 42 degrees. See, doesn't that make sense?
Yeah, and it's like Thomas Paine, who actually authored the book Common Sense. It just makes sense. I think Aristotle said that if something makes sense, it's most likely right. And if it doesn't make sense, it's most likely not right. Siegfried, if we get to your website, is there more information there, more details, more science about the coconut oil?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, our website is alphahealth.ca. That discusses the individual products and the benefits and everything. But if you go to the website www.iopener-magazine.ca. Again, www.iopener-magazine.ca. That is where you get all issues that have been published, that's 8 of them, and you can look up all the benefits of the coconut oil, all the problems you have with other oils and fats. It's full of good information.
And is that spelled E-Y-E? I?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, eye-opener, one word.
Eye-opener, good.
E-Y-E, opener, and then the hyphen, you know, which is the minus sign, not the underscore, but the hyphen magazine. Okay, iopener-magazine.ca.
Okay, good. Well, we've got that address.
You can also, when you go to the alphahealth.ca, you can click on the newsletter. I'm sending out a newsletter every 3 weeks or so, which also deals a lot with coconut oil. And, you know, the fat issue, it's, you know, strange as it is, my father was a merchant in natural fats, hazelnut butter and oils, flax oil and so on. I remember as a kid when he got a barrel of hazelnut butter. It was in a wooden top. He opened the lid and then there was a parchment paper and he pulled off the parchment paper. And there were usually little chunks of hazelnut butter on this parchment paper. And he gave it to me to lick off, you know. I was in 7'7". You know, I was only a kid about 5 years old, but I remember that.
Wow.
Yeah.
So there's the origin of your connection. That's fantastic.
Yeah, since that time, I've always had an interest in fats and oils, yeah.
So the environment plays a huge role. In other words, the people that we meet, the places that we were born, the things that are told to us, whether we have education or not, all of that plays a huge role in our knowledge of health, doesn't it?
It certainly does, yeah. Yeah, as someone, I don't know who said it, but he says, tell me the people you associate with and I'll tell you who you are.
Yeah. Wow. Well, Siegfried, our time is gone. Thank you so much for the information and the precision explanations. And I want to get you back on because there's so much more that we could talk about. You are really the walking encyclopedia of the industry.
And, yeah, well, I love it. I am research-oriented, and when I hear something, I usually follow up and say, is it true or is it not true, you know? And I love this industry. It's, you know, right now there is a new movement coming up. It's the raw food movement. And it's moving fast. And I think it will leave its mark behind. You know, there are a number of associations, the Hippocrates and the Hallelujah Acres and so others, yeah? That is just like we had in the 60s, the hippie movement. At that time we had herbal renaissance, where the power of healing, the healing power of herbs was rediscovered, yeah? So we are now in this movement that the raw foods will definitely have healing benefits for many people.
Siegfried Gersh has been my expert special guest, a true pioneer of the natural health food movement, creating the Alive magazine, the Alive Academy, making a huge impact on education and its essential need in the industry, still striking out, still involved, a tireless dedication to help people, to help themselves. Siegfried, we thank you very much.
Corey, I admire your work as well, too. You know, you are also an educator. And I wish you all the best with your program in sports nutrition. Blessings to you and Tracy. Thank you very, very much. I enjoyed it. Bye-bye.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Hawley Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHawley.com or call us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-866-433-1595. That's 1-866-433-1595. This is Scott Barrett, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Represent his lifestyle. New way of life. Listen. It's SNU. Sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight. Malik with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life. Live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHawley.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see a change in heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.